Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you with it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. You know what to do. The whole world's watching and counting on you. And all you people listening out there, everybody, everywhere.
Hang on, hang on, hang on!
Welcome to Checkered Past, a loving postmodern examination of the Go-Go Check branded comic magazines published by DC Comics between February 1966 and August 1967. I'm Dr. Bob, and each week I'll be your guide on this trippy tour through 535 mid-century masterpieces of graphic noveldom.
This week, World's Finest Comics number 163, cover date December 1966, cover price 12 cents, cover artists Kurt Swan and George Klein, edited by Mort Weisinger, featuring The Duel of the Super Duo, written by Jim Shooter, art by Kurt Swan and George Klein. And Superman's Girlfriend Lois Lane, number 71, cover date January 1967, cover price 12 cents. Cover artist Kurt Schaffenberger, edited by Mort Weisinger, featuring Hush Money Sweet Lois, or else, written by Otto Binder, art by Kurt Schaffenberger. Are you ready? Are you with it? Then away we go go! Superman and Batman are taken through a space warp tunnel to a world of wonders by an alien named Jemphis, who gives them a tour of the planet, which includes replicas of both the Batcave and the Fortress of Solitude, and then tries to hypnotize the super buddies. Meanwhile, Lois is forced to pay off the blackmail demands of Roger Madison, who has evidence that Superman killed a crew of sailors. Confused? Don't worry, I'll be right back with Dr. Husband to explain everything.
That night train to Memphis, take that night train to Memphis. I'll be waiting at the station. I know we're gonna have a jubilee down in Memphis, Tennessee, and we're gonna shout hallelujah all the way.
Good morning, good morning. It's great to be in a super duel with your best friend. Good morning, and one of you is hypnotized.
Is it indeed?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, how are you?
Oh, I'm good except for these dreams I'm having.
What dreams?
Well, last night I was, I don't know what I was doing, but I was sitting at a table. Mm-hmm. I think it was at work, having lunch with a work friend.
Mm-hmm.
And a little cardinal came up, but it had like a top-knot ponytail. Someone had wrapped a wire
oh my gosh.
Around its top head.
Okay.
And it had a little cute little ponytail, and it was just sitting there staring at me. I didn't know what it wanted.
My goodness.
I thought maybe it wanted me to take the wire out of its head, but of course, it's dangerous to mess with wild animals.
Wow. Well, and nothing else happened in the dream? It was.
There was something else, a performing show or something that I had to get ready for, but hadn't practiced as per my usual.
I had a couple of dreams this week that I remember. One was of my mom, who passed away a couple of years ago, and my sister, who's still alive. And they were getting along, and everybody was happy, which was a great dream. And then I had a dream. Oh, the other dream, what was that? Oh, you and I were in choir in college, but
yes.
Our current age, I don't know what we were doing. We were singing in a choir.
We're non-traditional students.
Yeah, okay. And and we were at, we had a guest conductor.
Yeah.
And he was being terrible. We would start singing. We knew the pieces really well. We'd start singing, and somebody in a section would make a mistake, and he would just look. He'd stop the music, look at us, and shake his head, and just like, he wouldn't say tisk, 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 but you know that gesture sort of nod, and just look at him like, and I was just like, incensed that he was being so insulting to the group. And it was something like they were singing an A chord and they had to come in with an E chord, and the group was not getting it. And so then the accompanist got in on the act. Like,
oh.
The accompanist got all smarmy, and she was just going, dun, 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 playing it and laughing and stuff like that. And we were all sitting there like, what in the world is going on? And it was supposed to be, we arrived, we were supposed to rehearse and then get changed. But the rehearsal was going so long because he would just stop as soon as a mistake would happen. And he wouldn't even say, okay, altos, I need you to fix that. Let's practice that thing. Good. Okay, you got it. No, nothing like that. He would just stop and go, oh, and just shake his head. And I got so angry, I stood up and I was like, I don't need this. And I walked away and you said, Rob, come back. Come back. And I was like, nope, I don't need to. And I turned around and slowly people were peeling off from the choir and walking away.
That is classic you.
Oh my gosh, wasn't that funny?
It's not funny so much.
No, it's funny accurate. Strange. It's funny strange.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It was weird.
I also had a performing dream that you and I were performing an anniversary concert with the Grandview High School Swing Choir.
Okay.
And well, I won't name the name, but one particular student who was always bossy and problematic decided to boss everyone around. And another student who owned all of the sound equipment, just packed up all the equipment during the show.
Oh.
Walked off.
What'd you do?
Well, we had the show must go on. We just kept performing. We hadn't rehearsed either. We were improvising the entire show.
Oh, yeah.
Harmonizing. Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah.
Old hat for us. We just didn't know all the dances, but we made them up.
Oh, I think the thing that infuriated me the most was when the accompanist and the choir director were both like colluding together and exchanging looks and making faces and stuff like that.
I know the types.
Yes, you know what I mean? And they were just like giggling to each other how stupid we were as a choir. I said, this isn't how you treat a choir. This is ridiculous. If I just got up and left.
Good for you, I say. You know what you should have done?
What?
Give a big thumbs down. That's what people do when they do not approve of something.
Oh my gosh. I was in a virtual meeting last week and one of my colleagues was using their iPad. And speaking of thumbs down, and the iPad has a smart camera in it. So when my colleague was sitting still with his head to his forehead, it zoomed in on him, right? And I said to my colleague, are you aware that your iPad is zooming in on you? And he said, no. And I said, look at it. And he did it, right? And then at some point he had his thumb up against his head like this. And then a thought bubble came out beside his head and a thumbs down came on the screen. And at that point we were already in the meeting and we all laughed. There were four of us in the meeting and three of us just laughing. I said, do you see what happened? And he looks at it and he goes, no, I don't understand how this is happening. And then he just stood there and he put his thumb up beside his head and a thought bubble came out and a thumbs up was beside.
Good.
It was a Zoom meeting, I think.
Night.
It was the funniest thing. And then we all tried it. We're all trying to do our thumbs up and it wasn't happening for us. We figured it must have been some sort of program interface with his iPad.
Well, that's why I'm grateful that my workplace has long since abandoned cameras on.
Oh, yeah. Well, it reminded me of that. Do you remember during the pandemic when the attorney came on and he said,
and he turned into
Honor, I am not a cat. I am
yes.
not. That's what reminded me of. Oh.
You know what it reminds me of?
What?
My two favorite heroes in one adventure together.
Superman and Batman?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Even though the logos say Batman with Robin the Boy Wonder, he does not appear.
No, he does not. All. Oh, I hear the clinking of Joy coming in.
Joy, is that what you call her? She's looking for food. It's June Bug. Yeah. She's going to try to get into that cat food bowl. And she's going to walk around here with her long nails and her jingly collar.
Hello. Let's take that collar off you. Come here. Come here.
June Bug's a beagle, if you're a new listener. And she likes to eat many things, including cat food and her own poop. You're welcome.
There we go. I got her collar now.
Superman and Batman on Splash Page.
Yes.
Are trapped on some kind of alien world, and they're being attacked by other creatures. And Superman has no powers on this world because it has a red sun.
Yes, and Jemphis.
Jemphis?
I love that name. Is it Jemphis?
And he's got a giant J on his jerkin.
Jay on the jerkin for Jemphis.
As the aforementioned Robin the Boy Wonder, who does not appear in this story, might say, holy predicament. But wait, the worst is yet to come, for not only does the terrific twosome have to battle Jemphis's mesmerized cohorts, but each other as well in
the duel of the super duo.
Wait a minute.
What?
Well,
yes?
The cover says the story is called The Court of No Hope, but inside it's called The Duel of the Super Duo.
Well,
what a mystery to not solve
at this moment. We open
with Gotham City and the opening of the Gotham Bridge, where thousands of drivers pay $5 toll in 1966. $5.
$5.
I don't think you pay that much to go over the Bay Bridge.
Wouldn't that be like paying $50 or $75 now?
Yes. Yeah.
But it all goes to charity.
Oh, wait. $5 toll for the privilege of being among the first to cross the span.
Right.
The proceeds, of course, go to charity.
Yes.
But one vehicle pulls up to a toll booth, is asked for $5, and hey, what kind of a car is this? Is this one of these new Tesla Cybertrucks? It sure looks peculiar.
It looks like a yellow Honda my mom used to drive. It had a hatchback in it.
It looks like a space cabbie's car.
Yeah.
Long-time comics readers will know.
The guy says it, and he's got a mask on.
We call it the Crime-mobile.
Crime-mobile. It's one word.
Mm.
Suddenly, a giant robot arm comes out of the top of the car, snatches the toll box.
Full of cash.
Full of cash, and breaks through the barricade.
The police says, "Help, police! There's over $10,000 in that box!"
This car just starts careening across the bridge. It's got air jets on its side, so it blows the other cars out of the way.
This has to be very powerful. You have powerful air jets to blow cars out of the way.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
These crooks are laughing because no one can identify them.
Mm-hmm.
They had these masks on. And what do you know? All of a sudden, here comes the Batmobile. They might have known that this would happen, being as it's the Gotham City Bridge.
And it's a very important day.
Yes.
And so a perilous chase ensues.
Yes. Batman is dodging every rocket that's fired out of this car,
mm-hmm.
almost like he has some kind of bat radar, which of course he does.
Which he does.
He also has special high-powered bat headlights,
that
which are turned up.
The full strength of the laser?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That
is that
tracks.
Science work?
Yeah. Yes, because lasers are light, as everyone knows.
So if you sign light into a powerful light, It'll counteract it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Uh-huh.
All right.
And now the Batmobile is emitting a high-frequency signal that's jamming all the weapons except for the claw.
The claw. It's like one of those little machine claws that comes out that you wear.
Like the
teddy bear.
Yeah. This calls...
What did I get? Oh, I got... We were in a restaurant, and I got a rubber duck.
A rubber duck at the... Primanti Brothers.
Yeah.
Now, this calls for emergency measures on Batman's part. He crashes the car into the side of the road, the criminal car, crime mobile.
Did I tell you what I did with that rubber duck?
You put it in the men's restroom, which was broken, I think.
The urinal.
Mm-hmm. Is it still there?
No.
Okay.
No, so this urinal has since been fixed.
Okay, good.
But it was out of order. Now, it wasn't filthy, like full of human waste or anything.
Okay,
like
good,
it was,
good.
It was just not being used. We had a sign on that said, do not use, and I just dropped a rubber ducky down.
Did they save the duck?
No. It was thrown away.
Okay, good. Yeah. Now, a gang of reporters has gathered to witness the apprehension of the criminals, and guess who's among them?
Clark Kent.
Clark Kent is secretly Superman.
Super what?
Superman.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, we've been berated by a listener. Corrected, that we should be pronouncing it as Martian Manhunter.
Oh,
when that comes around again.
I think that's a pretty excellent suggestion. I don't know why we didn't think of that. Well, because we usually treat the M-A-N as a last name, as a surname. You know, like Aquaman, like Harold Aquaman,
yeah,
and and Martin Superman,
yeah,
and stuff like that. But I hadn't thought about Martian Manhunter. It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. No. Because it puts the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Well, anything I can say to irritate people,
like when my mother would call CVS drugstores CVS.
Oh, all right. Or you know, you and I met at DBCC, right?
Daytona Beach Community College.
We would call it DBCC.
Uh huh.
On the accent on the penultimate.
Yes.
Letter. Yes.
Like she's Italian. We did grow up in an Italian neighborhood.
Yeah.
So that does track.
Yeah. DBCC.
How about an interview, Batman? Yeah. Tell us how you did it. I'm pretty busy. But Clark Kent can ride back to the city with me and give the story to the rest of you. Like a lowly pool reporter.
Aw, shucks.
That's too bad. Lost a story.
So Clark hops into the Batmobile and off they go. It's too bad you missed the fun, Clark.
I know. I saw it with my telescopic vision. Minutes later, as the Batmobile reaches a deserted stretch of the road.
According to my last count, that's 58 crimes I stopped this month. It's time I took a vacation.
So what, Batman? Do we have a spreadsheet and you hit 50 crimes and you stop for the month? Well, I met my quota this month. Well, I'm gonna kick back and relax now.
I'm surprised that you stopped there because Superman says,
I know what you mean. Even a superhero can get sick of the same old grind. But where could we get away from it all?
They're like, oh yeah, I'm tired too. Let's leave and go on vacation.
Or, you know, maybe slip into your secret identity and do something different for a couple minutes.
Perhaps, gentlemen. Who's this? Oh, wait.
Jemphis.
Perhaps, gentlemen. Oh, I can answer Jemphis. That. Listen carefully and follow my instructions to the letter. You will not be harmed.
Superman says, great quasars, a voice from nowhere.
What? That's very unsafe. Clark is standing up in the convertible Batmobile. He's buckled made of
steel.
In. Well, still, he should demonstrate good auto safety for the young readers.
So,
accelerate the Batmobile to full speed and enter the space warp tunnel I've placed in front of you.
Look, we have no choice, Batman says.
Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do. Superman and I could free us in a moment, but I want to see what this is all about.
Well, they were just hoping to go on and take a vacation.
Sure, what better way than to go into a warp tunnel.
And so the speeding Batmobile vanishes into the warp tunnel.
Great guns. We're out in space and heading for another planet at incredible speed.
Sizzling
suns.
You. Go ahead.
Some kind of paradise planet. Look at this place.
And there's our welcoming committee.
Ah, you have arrived. I'm Jemphis.
Is that how you talk like if you're from Jemphis, Tennessee?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Jemphis is probably a minister of the church.
Is she sleeping behind you in her little
she
bed?
She is, yes. Oh,
She just snored.
Welcome to my world of wonders. I've brought you Earth's greatest heroes here to represent your planet in my annual superheroes convention.
Is that so? Then where are the other guests? Looks like a trap to me.
You are early arrivals. The others will be here soon. Meanwhile, I have something to amuse you. Step onto this platform and I will show you. It's Delta Burke as Suzanne Sugarbaker.
Oh. Isn't it?
Let's see as you continue with the
okay. dialogue. As long as we're passing over a jungle area, I may as well give you gentlemen a sightseeing tour and point out some of the wonders of my world. For instance, down there you see my metallic plants, which grow only in soil rich in iron, copper, tin, and other metals. And beside them are my sky vines, which grow to tremendous height because of their amazing strength. There are the gridzak plants whose large, tough leaves can be made into leather, and the oil bladder bush that changes location by secreting an oily slime and oozing along it.
Ugh.
Finally, here are my carnivorous plants, such as the gunagord, which stuns its prey with a gas it shoots, and the sprayer lily, which hits insects with a sticky liquid that hardens into fibrous strands with which it hauls the creature to itself. Isn't nature wonderful? Oh, we're almost there. Off to the left, you can see my castle, gentlemen, on that floating plateau. The convention will be held there. But there, just ahead, is our goal.
Great moons of Krypton.
Throughout the galaxy, I'm known as a great collector. This is one of my many collections, exact replicas of the great secret hideaways of great heroes.
Here you see the skyscraper headquarters of Ehrman from planet Mar, the floating globe hideaway of Solarman, the pit of Serpento of Orizak, and the iceberg fortress of Dr. Chill of Tloncato.
I also possess exact copies of your headquarters, or as nearly exact as possible. Would you like to visit them?
I'll say. Let's see how good a job you did.
As I said, gentlemen, these copies are as near perfect as I could make them. Please inspect them. Tell me if anything is wrong and amuse yourselves. Ha 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 ha.
Aren't you suspicious?
No, Superman thinks it's interesting.
Hmm.
Batman enters the Batcave replica and it's got... he's done a great job. He has a souvenir of the Joker's bad penny crimes and his crime lab. And good grief, what's that?
Well, it's a giant eyeball, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a giant eyeball with little sucker...
This thing doesn't belong in the Batcave. Oh, there's a label on it. Small print. Batman has to get close to read it.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. It's a hypnotizing machine and it's trapped Batman. That rat Jemphis caught him with his guard down. He's got to turn away before the mesmerizing rays hit him square in the eyeballs.
Batman, you will only obey Jemphis. You will only obey Jemphis.
As these words are driven deep into Batman's subconscious, we join Superman in the fortress, in the duplicate fortress. Everything here seems to be here and in the right place. Even a fake bottle city of Kandor. But I've never seen that gadget before.
It's that same gadget from the Batcave.
Wait a minute. Yes, I have. On my space travels once. It's a mesmerizing machine. Got to get out of range. It's armed with green kryptonite, the one substance that can kill me.
Gulp.
My heat vision will destroy that time machine, that machine, and the green K. But this was set up to get me in Jemphis's power. The kryptonite would have weakened me, so the device could hypnotize me.
Seconds later, Jemphis is expecting that Superman's already hypnotized, but Superman turns the tables on him. He grabs him by the collar, says, I avoided your little trap, mister. Now tell me, what kind of hijinks are you up to?
Well, I failed plan A, so I better go with plan B.
You see, in a minute, Superman, after I press this remote control button to activate plan B.
What?
Bah! Look at our sun, fool, and you'll see that I do not need any other plans.
Thousands of atomic explosions changing it from yellow to red.
Right, ex-Superman. A red sun under which you have no powers. My robot gods can handle you now.
So, superpowers are no. Superman's not having this. He tosses Jemphis aside like a rag doll. Thinking that if he knocks Jemphis out, the robots will be uncontrolled and Superman can get away from them.
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps not, because guess who's coming now? Hypnotized Batman.
Hypnotized Batman. There we go. A couple more pages over. And here we go. Part two, the super combat.
Now, Superman's in for a real fight because Batman's hypnotized and not holding his punches.
Right. And of course, Superman is completely weakened.
Yes. And now we're going to get sort of a little wrestling match between Superman and Batman.
Pages and pages of the two of them fighting.
Batman has made a career of overpowering the toughest thugs on Earth with judo and other gimmicks.
Mm-hmm.
Superman can't risk losing the fight. He's got to run away. And he runs into the exhibit of Heroes Hideouts.
Heroes Hideouts?
Yes. He gets into Arrowman's hideout.
I'm sorry, who?
Arrowman, sorry.
Uh-huh.
Arrowman uses flying jets, which Superman takes advantage of, and takes off into the sky.
Yeah.
He is lassoed by a batarang rope,
mm-hmm.
and down he goes. Batman then punches Superman, sending Superman crashing into the ice fortress of Dr. Chill, which Jemphis is very alarmed, because Dr. Chill has many weapons which can be used against Batman.
That was ice, very smart.
Yes. Ice grenades, snow guns. Dr. Chill has regular Arctic arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
But Batman is shielding himself from them with heat flares from his utility belt. Now Batman throws an explosive capsule. No time for Superman to dodge. He's unconscious.
Superman is knocked unconscious.
Batman's going to smash him over the head with a rock.
Now, also his outfit. Superman's outfit
gets all
torn up. Does that... why would the outfit's strength and integrity be affected by the changing of the sun?
Well, because anything from Krypton is affected by the rays of the yellow sun.
Oh, okay.
As Superman is stronger, so is any cloth, and of course his costume's made from the blankets he was wrapped in when he was shot in a rocket from Krypton.
Oh, okay.
In modern chronology, I believe the explanation is that somehow Superman's skin affects anything against it, so that the cloth is strengthened.
Oh.
I don't know. I'm out of the loop.
All right.
But anyway, it's ripped up.
Yeah.
Now, Jemphis has a better idea than smashing his head with a rock. I think it would be great to run him over
with the Batmobile.
The fake Batmobile that's been created here on Jemphis World.
No, it's not the fake Batmobile. This is the real Batmobile.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, forgive. I got ahead of myself.
You did, didn't you?
Yes. Superman makes one more use of Arrowman's air jets,
mm-hmm.
makes a terrific leap up above the Batmobile, jumps into the seat, And off they go into Serpento's pit.
Which is like a Roman amphitheater.
Yes.
And not amphitheater, Colosseum.
Yes. The Batmobile is going to crash, but luckily Superman knows how to use the parachute ejector.
Mm-hmm.
And still a hard landing, but...
And they're both knocked unconscious. Yes. So that's twice that Superman's been knocked unconscious in about maybe 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty bad.
Batmobile is totaled. Though their vehicle is wrecked, Batman and Superman are merely unconscious. Bah! I want a battle to the death. Take them to their rooms. They will fight in the arena tomorrow.
Gosh. Bah.
Hours later, in the castle of Jemphis, Jemphis is mocking Superman.
I like how you're doing this. You're really getting us through all this dialogue pretty quickly.
His costume has been repaired
mm-hmm.
for the audience's benefit. Audience, Superman says.
Yes. Go ahead.
You are to battle Batman to the death tomorrow in the arena, and the audience will be disappointed if you are not in full uniform.
The winner will receive a great honor, so fight well, though I doubt you will have a chance against Batman, judging from your battle today.
He's right. Batman's fighting ability and utility belt give him a real advantage.
But I'm not about to roll over and play dead. Say, this place is pretty classy for a prison cell. I can even see a high-walled courtyard from here. Maybe I can find something here to use in fighting Batman.
Galloping galaxies, a garden with several of the plants Jemphis pointed out as we flew over the jungle. With these, and some other things I know I can find inside, I think I can match Batman's belt.
All through the night, Superman works.
All through the night, Superman works. Sewing a plant.
It's an old Cyndi Lauper.
Cyndi Lauper. Classic, yeah. By dawn... Superman is creating his last weapon, a net made by greasing his hands with the oil bladder plant slime and pulling the sprayer lily's sticky taffy-like sap till it hardens into strands. Now I'll weight it with stones.
Finally, at dawn, the two combatants are summoned to Jemphis's huge indoor arena.
This audience that Jemphis kept talking about consists of the universe's greatest villains, and Superman noticed that they're all hypnotized like Batman. They're another of Jemphis's little collections. Suddenly, from an imposing ringside throne, a voice rings out.
Let the contest commence, and remember, the winner receives the great honor.
Now, the two mighty gladiators open hostilities, but Batman doesn't realize that Superman has his own utility belt to counter his, so he's trying to finish him off in jig time, Batarang style. The Batarang misses. Superman throws his own Superrang, and which is made from one of the metal flowers, throws it up to the rafters, swings a rope across, kicks Batman in the solar plexus, mm-hmm. knocks the wind out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Batman fires his bat-poon.
But it thuds against the former Man of Steel, rips through his no longer indestructible costume.
But bounces off harmlessly because Superman has made leather leaves from the Gridzak plant into a bulletproof vest, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And now for my next trick.
He throws some ball bearings.
Yes.
Underneath him, but it's actually anthers or pollen cases of yes. metallic flowers.
Now, that gets Batman comically tripping and falling on his back. And then Superman nets him. And the villain audience says, kill him, thumbs down.
Kill him, kill him.
Which Superman reminds us is the old Roman sign for a gladiator to kill his opponent.
Mm-hmm. It'd be, but I can't.
No, Batman's my friend and killing's against my code.
Suddenly.
I like that he had to add that. He's not only is Batman his friend, but killing's against my code.
Well, he did think it. He didn't say it.
Right, I know, but he's thinking for the benefit mm-hmm. of the reader, isn't he? Batman somehow manages to get a bat flare from his utility belt and burns away the net and blinds Superman. What now? Well, he's got some spores in his belt.
Hmm.
He's guided by the masked manhunter's footsteps. He hurls the dust-like particles in these giant mushroom spores that he found in the garden grow super fast upon striking the ground. But Batman will break through the giant fungi soon. Time for another gimmick.
What?
A vial of oil from the oil bladder plant strikes the ground in front of the Gotham Goliath. All he has to do is slow Batman down for a minute, but Batman uses the oil to his advantage and slides right into Superman. Like he's sliding into home. Grabs Superman's utility belt, punches Superman in the jaw,
gives him
then the stomach, then double fist on his head.
Oh my gosh, he's going to hurt him. He's seriously
going to finish him with his laser beam.
Yeah.
But something's hesitating.
He can't.
He can't.
Batman can't do it. He cannot kill Superman.
Kill him, Batman. I command you.
No dice. You can't make a man go against his conscience, even with hypnosis. I'm myself again, Jemvis, and now we both stand against you. Have you ever been hypnotized?
No. Have I? No, I don't think so.
I was in college. I was at a hypnosis demonstration, and I went up on stage, but I couldn't be hypnotized. They sent me away.
They did?
Yes.
Did they say, get out! But get off this stage!
I got to watch all the other people get hypnotized.
How was that?
Oh, it was fantastic.
Mm.
This one young man got up, and the hypnotist told him that it was getting very, very hot. And so the boy just stripped off his clothes. Not naked, but took his shirt off.
In front
off.
Of the whole audience?
In front of the whole audience. He had no idea what he was doing.
Good Lord.
I know.
How embarrassing. Well,
the audience didn't mind, I can tell you that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now.
Did someone cluck like a chicken or do something
similar? Kind of stuff,
yeah,
yes.
Of course. Yeah.
Now, what a break. The emotional strain snapped Batman out of his trance.
But how long can you stand against my collection of heroes? Hundreds of them from all over the universe. They'll kill you because I made them think you're dangerous villains. Too bad. Now neither of you will get the great honor of being my personal slave.
Oh, well, Batman has a plan.
Of course he does.
So what is he doing here on this next page? The hypnotized heroes advance. They're advancing to attack Superman and Batman. Of course, remember, Superman does not have any powers at all.
Correct.
And Batman's just got, he just snapped out of it, just recovered. But now they're close enough for me to use my Batflash to set up a hypnotic pattern to counteract Jemvis's spell over them.
The heroes are free.
Mind is free. I can think again.
So it's not two heroes who face the Crooked Collector, but hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
Get back. My villains are still hypnotized. They'll save me.
Now, apparently your power was weaker than you thought. Your pals have flown the coop. You're alone now.
My robots aren't close enough to aid me, but I had the sense to provide an escape hatch.
Mm.
So he sets up a smoke screen. He escapes the arena. He goes to the fake bat cave, where they'll never think of looking for me there.
Right.
But they do. They're right behind him. They followed him somehow. And he ducks behind the mesmerizing machine, trips, and activates it by accident.
And it is telling him, you will obey only Jemvis. He is your master.
You will obey only Jemvis. He is your master.
Classic Jemvis. He gets down in front of a mirror where he sees his own face, and he's locked in this hypnotic loop.
I will obey only Jemvis. He is my master.
Finally, after Jemvis and his collection of hypnotized hoods have been rounded up for delivery to a galactic prison.
Batman says to Superman, well, this case is closed, but we still have a problem. How to get home? You have no powers, and to use a space tunnel, we need a Batmobile, which is wrecked.
Perhaps I can help you.
Robin, how did you...
No, I'm Zardin, the boy marvel of Nangar, and here's your passage home.
Amazing. He's a dead ringer for Earth's boy wonder.
And there's a duplicate Batmobile in the duplicate Batcave.
But before the world's finest team departs, the heroes of the universe hold the convention for which they were called to Jemvis's planet.
This is my favorite thing to ever happen in comics. It's when you meet a whole group full of new superheroes that you'll never see again.
Never. Like Dr. Chill.
I'm Dr. Chill. Sorry I can't give you a warm handshake.
That's all right. I familiarize myself with some of your weapons.
So you're Arrowman, eh?
Check, Batman. And this is my bride-to-be, Windlass.
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 I intend to sew up that rip in Superman's shirt with a special super thread I have, because I'm a girl and all I'm good for is sewing.
Not really, folks.
No, right, yeah.
But we like to... Again, we see an example of sexism in this 1960s. Then, the Earth champions enter the Batmobile and head into the space tunnel.
Goodbye, Batman. So long, Superman.
We'll have to do this again and bring your Justice League friends next time.
We will. Good luck on your journeys to your own worlds. And by the way, they all never get together like this again.
Right. No, they never do.
Yeah, like I like to say this once in a while. It takes somebody by surprise when I say, when I say goodbye and like I'm going to see you next week, I'll say, have a good life. That's what they should have said.
As the amazing vehicle emerges on Earth, you must be anxious to try out your powers now that you have them back, Superman. Where are you off to?
Did you forget? A guy named Clark Kent was with you? Sorry. Unnecessary pause. Did you forget a guy named Clark Kent was with you? He has a story to write for the Daily Planet. And what a story!
What a story! What a story! Indeed! Someone listening is going to have to help me out because I am sure that Arrowman, A-E-R-O-M-A-N, was an actual, like, off-brand Golden Age superhero.
Ooh.
But I can't... I Googled and I couldn't, in my cursory Google search, couldn't find. But that costume, he's got a red bodysuit on with a red hood and, like, an eagle emblem across his chest, and it looks so familiar.
Now, I only listen to our podcast. You actually put pictures from this comic in our...
On Twitter, yes, okay. And on all the socials I do, yeah.
Yeah, Arrowman is not... Did you spell Arrowman? It's A-E-R-O, mm-hmm. Not A-R-R-O-W. Yeah.
Right, yeah, Arrowman. Like flying, a right. Flying man.
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah, help me out, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Now... You may think that's the end, but we do have one story we have to catch up on.
Yes.
Because in Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane, number 71,
mm-hmm.
That, of course, was the second part of the Fantastic Catwoman two-parter. But there's a backup story, which I was encouraged to cover by our good friend in Scotland, Professor Mark Gray.
Okay.
I don't think he's actually a professor, but I like to call him that.
Of course.
Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane, what dreadful secret lurks in Lois Lane's past? Has she stolen? Committed treason? Taken part in some colossal swindle? What? You don't believe a wholesome all-American gal like our Lois could ever have stepped out of line? Well, if she didn't, try and explain why she's willing to fork over her life savings to a blackmailer to keep him from spilling what he knows when he demands hush money, sweet Lois, or else. Go ahead, Rob. I'll wait. Go ahead and explain it.
I can't. I've read it. I could explain it and stop us from going through the entire thing. But I won't.
At the Daily Planet office one day, as reporter Lois Lane answers the phone.
Yes. Yes. Later. I can't talk now. Goodbye.
Soon at a nearby bank. Here it is, Miss Lane. $1,200 in new $10 bills, as you requested.
It's all the savings I have, but I must withdraw it.
Gee, we thought we had it bad in the modern age, but this poor gal's been working like a dog and she's only got $1,200 in savings.
Oh.
Golly. The girl reporter then drives out of the city and...
30, 31, 32. Here goes. He said to throw it out in the ditch near the 33rd telephone pole after the Cloverleaf Junction. Well, that's one more payoff. Choke!
Each day Lois scrimps... She gets invited out to lunch with Clark and Perry. But I suppose you'll give us the usual answer.
She goes, all right, Clark, I bought my own lunch from home. I'm saving up to visit my folks back in Pittsdale at Christmas.
Clark and Perry have barely left when she gets a phone call.
You again? So soon? But it was only last week that I made a payment.
Save the sob stories for the presses, sister. I don't care how you scratch it up, but I want 500 more clams or else.
So at home after work.
Lois, it's Lucy, her sister. Why are you packing your Superman souvenirs? Don't tell me you're going to get rid of them.
Stop bugging me, Lucy. I won't tell you that or anything else. It's none of your business anyhow.
Jeez, Lois. She's got a severe look
on her face, doesn't she?
Worried by her sister's action, Lucy, still in her stewardess outfit, follows Lois to a pawn shop.
Why would Lois pawn mementos of the man she loves? I'll see if Clark Kent knows.
So soon at Clark Kent's apartment.
That's the story, Clark. Why would Lois be so desperate for cash? Do you think she's being blackmailed?
It's possible she's been acting strange the past few weeks. I'll contact Superman and see what I can find out.
Next day. At the office, Lois groans as she lifts her typewriter cover. Type, type, type. There's a typewritten note. I want another $250 right away. Bring it to the waterfront, Pier 13 at 10 o'clock tonight. Blindfold your eyes when you get there. You know who.
But I'm dead broke. Wait, I can get it from the boss.
Minutes later, in Editor White's office.
Perry's got a safe full of cash and ready to hand out to people.
She's taking her vacation fund? What's a vacation fund?
I certainly wouldn't know. I don't guess it get was one.
A benefit that they used to get?
I guess. Why do you want your vacation fund so far in advance, Lois?
That's my business, Perry. Just hand it over and skip the cross-examination.
That night.
She's wound tighter than a.
I'll say.
Spring.
I love that dress, though. Mm. A little black number, mm-hmm. little yellow cuffs and collar. Mm. Now, she's at the pier. She has blindfolded herself. She hears a voice ordering her to take her blindfold off and...
Superman, you!
Clark.
But...
Clark told me he suspected you were in trouble, Lois. I wanted to force your hand, so I had him leave that fake note for you. The fact that you came here proves you are being blackmailed, but why and by whom?
Sorry, Superman! There are some things I can't tell you. Don't ask me questions, please!
Choke.
Ah. Well, if she won't talk, I'll have to dig up the facts myself as Clark Kent. Next day, in his civilian identity, the Man of Steel visits Lois's hometown of Pittsdale.
Hmm.
Pretending he's writing a special feature about Lois for the Planet. That'll give him the chance to check all the records and find out if there's some hidden scandal in her past. First stop, Pittsdale High School.
He interviews her former English teacher.
Why, Lois was a star pupil, Mr. Kent. I've exhibited her scholastic records all these years as an inspiration to others.
She has four A's as a grade. Lois Lane on the chalkboard pointing. Lois Lane is a full-grown adult, college-educated full-grown adult. He goes back to her high school, and she's got a paper that says Lois Lane across with four A's.
A. Not even A pluses, just A's. Try harder, Lois. I see, Miss Plunkett. Did Lois ever engage in any school activities involving money?
Why, yes. Lois drove our bankmobile one year collecting charity funds, and not one penny was ever missing.
A bankmobile loaded with cash. Look at that. Now, isn't she in a toy car?
Yes, the bankmobile we should describe is a Shriner tiny car.
Uh-huh. With a big
with
wagon.
With a wagon hooked to it, full of cash.
Paper cash.
So I guess this child just drives this toy car around town and people throw money into it?
I guess so.
It's not even covered. That money would fly out. First strong wind comes up.
It must be weighted down by coins.
Next stop, Clark visits the Pittsdale police chief, who is Sam Elliott in Western wear, cowboy hat included.
Yeah.
I'm making a survey of law enforcement for my paper. How many serious crimes has Pittsdale had in the last 20 years?
Not a one. The last big case was almost 30 years ago when Tad Oliver stole 6 cows.
30 years ago? That's about the time Lois was born. You mean she's pushing 30 and not married yet?
Spinster!
Well, I'll run my X-ray vision over his police files just in case there's something he didn't tell me. Great stars! Why would he have a set of Lois's fingerprints on file if she never committed a crime? Is the chief covering up for her?
As the interview ends, say, young feller, you're a friend of Lois Lane's, aren't you? Look at this surprise we cooked up to give her next Christmas. It's in honor of the many planet crimes expose she's written. What? Wait.
The Daily Planet.
Yeah. I'm like, what? Okay, it's in honor of the many planet crimes expose she's written. See? A police badge and her fingerprints in bronze. Her mother got them from us last year when Lois was asleep.
Her mother crept into her room while she was sleeping
and took her fingerprints.
When did Lois wake up with ink on her fingers? Did she think anything was amiss?
Maybe she took a wax impression.
Well.
Who knows?
Well, there goes Lois's criminal record. What a relief.
But the mystery remains. Clark's next stop is the farm home of Lois's parents.
Now, Clark has been to the home of Lois's parents before, but as Superman.
Oh, okay.
Because he went with Lois to her high school reunion and stayed at the Lane farm. And was urged by Lois's father to marry her right away, which clearly he did not do because she's a spinster.
Yeah, she's
30.
Clark, I'm Clark Kent, Mr. Lane. Lois's fellow reporter back in Metropolis, eh? We've heard plenty about you, young fella.
Come in. We're always happy to see a friend, any friend of our daughter's.
I don't suppose that Lois has ever had any, trouble that you know of. You mean like gotten pregnant out of wedlock? No, no, nothing like that.
No. Nothing like that.
Or spoken back to us ever? Never.
She's had plenty of trouble, son, and still does. It's her romance with Superman. Isn't he ever going to marry the girl? Maybe you could talk to him.
If he only knew, he's doing just that.
You can tell Superman if he's worried about her family, we have no scandal to hide. No, sir.
I thought this was so funny. I thought when I saw the big print, thump, thumpity thump,
yes,
that he was going to, something about a dog wagging its tail, you know, behind him.
Right, behind that would be the, dinner at our house.
Yeah, right. It wasn't. Superman was using his super hearing to listen to the heartbeat of Lois's father to double check whether or not he was telling the truth, which he was.
He was. Heartbeat is perfectly normal. Not in a regular beat.
I said Superman. It's actually.
That's the same person.
I know, but he's.
We insist you sleep here overnight, Mr. Kent. Lois's room is unoccupied, so you can use it.
This gives me a chance to search a room for clues to what that black matter is holding over her head.
I'm using contacts today, and I am having some trouble. My eyes are drying out, and so I have to keep on blinking to keep my eyes to read.
Now, Superman snooping around her bedroom does not produce the hoped-for results.
Look at that photo album, not photo album, a scrapbook that she has. Oh,
Lois
my
Lane awarded Girl Scout honors. Miss Lane wins Ideal
Girl contest.
Lost wallet with $5,000 cash returned by Lois Lane.
Oh my God, but the next panel is the best. This made me laugh.
It's a model of a float.
In the Pittsdale Parade. And it says, Queen of Perfection.
Lois Lane. She's sitting atop a papier-mâché swan titled The Queen of Perfection.
It should just say Miss Busybody. Queen of Perfection. How would you like to be called the Queen of Perfection?
I'd love it.
You would.
Let's start it right away.
Right on a float? You sing on a float? Uh-huh. Queen of Perfection.
Yep. I'm in. But... as Clark hangs his coat in the closet, say, why is that pewter box hidden here in the closet? Did Lois know that pewter, an alloy of tin and lead, would block Superman's X-ray vision if he ever came here on a visit?
Using the bobby pin from Lois's dresser, Clark picks the lock.
Clark is a common thief.
He is a thief. He's a busybody.
Clark picks the lock only to find hidden money.
This is for your dowry when you marry Lois. Dad, what?
When you marry, comma, Lois.
Oh. I'm an idiot.
Oh, my God. Why his dad did not write that for Clark Kent? Oh, my God.
Just to clarify, it's a box of hidden money, which her father has scrimped and saved from his farm
savings.
It's
a dowry, yeah.
It's for her dowry.
Yeah, that's
she's sweet. Never going to use it because she's a spinster.
She's far too old.
But
at age 30, she might as well be 60.
Right.
In 1968.
Sure.
Yeah.
But if Lois's past is so clear, why does a phone call the next day make her shudder?
But you've bled me white already. I have no money left.
Relax, sweetie. I don't want any more of your hard-earned cash. Just meet me at the Skyview restaurant at 7:30 this evening. I reserve table number 6.
When Lois keeps the appointment...
I've only seen the blackmailer once... and he was masked. But now I'll see his vicious, brutal face at last. I've met some ugly customers in my time, but I'll bet he takes that cake.
She's thinking this in her mind.
Yes. Good evening, Miss Lane. I'm sure you recognize my voice.
Oh, my goodness. He's handsome, debonair, and gentlemanly. Just the opposite of what I expected.
Call me Roger, and I'll get right down to business. I don't want any more money. I want you. I've been crazy about you for years. So for the final payoff, I want you to marry me.
What? She says out loud. Oh. You sure have your nerve.
You'd use blackmail evidence to keep me in line for the rest of my life if I did marry you.
If, baby, you have no choice, but I'll ease your mind at my place after dinner.
Well, that took a turn, didn't it?
I'll say, why is she going with him to his place?
I don't know. He's a blackmailer. He's a criminal. Why is she going to his apartment?
Because he can blackmail, I guess.
You know what this girl needs? Signal watch. Jimmy has.
Yeah, she does need a signal watch.
How do you like my pad, sweetheart? It's different from the place where I first showed you this film, isn't it?
That little meeting was in a dingy basement I'd rented. Oh, that's his voice.
Little meeting was in a dingy basement I'd rented, and I kept my identity hidden under a black robe and hood.
So he had called her and said he had an important piece of mail for her, and he had blackmail. He was going to show her a film, right?
We'll take a trip to see a Justice of the Peace, then we'll burn the film.
Is that so? And maybe that's really a Mickey Mouse cartoon or a home movie of your Aunt Matilda. I'm not buying a pig in a poke.
You ought to trust me, honey bunch. Would I cheat you?
You cheat your own brother out of his eye teeth and charge him for a dental fee. You're not pulling any fast ones on me. Show me the picture.
She's very upset.
Yes. Okay, I'll oblige you. As I told you before, this film was shot years ago during naval maneuvers in the South Pacific. That secret weapon showed up in the area over an island that was an American protectorate. A Navy patrol vessel sent out an SOS and enter the so-called hero. The naval ships were out of range, so Superman set off the device where it couldn't hurt anybody, or could it? The Man of Steel had forgotten to check below. Deadly fallout from the blast showered down on a passing ship, and the entire crew of 40 sailors died a horrible death. Moments before the radiation disintegrated the ship and everything aboard to dust. Yes, the awful truth is that Superman's recklessness murdered those innocent men.
There you have it, reader. The secret Lois paid to keep hidden.
That's why I paid off this blackmailer. If the public learned Superman was responsible for those deaths, he would wreck his career. I'll do anything to protect the man I love from disgrace.
Naturally, I wasn't fool enough to try to blackmail Superman himself with his superpowers. He could have easily hunted me down and destroyed the evidence. Okay, baby, shall we go out and say our I do's? Once the knot's tied, we can have a little celluloid fire.
Marry a criminal or see Superman branded a killer? What shall I do?
There's ellipses on between all of us.
I won't rush you. Take all the time you want. Up to 12 hours.
Oh, she's got 12 hours.
You could drive home in my deluxe foreign speedster. Here are the keys. Ta-ta. Here comes the bride.
He may look handsome, but he's a rat.
As Lois drives home, troubled thoughts cloud her mind.
What if the robber has secret covers and fills?
I trust him. I can never love anyone.
How disgusting. If anyone could love Superman.
Lois switches the car radio to divert her mind. But,
and so another rescue was performed by Superman, whose mighty feats are known everywhere.
Yes, but what about super mistakes? What is covered up? Others, why protect the living lie?
Super mistakes.
These are her looping thoughts, yes. With her thoughts straying from her driving, the girl reporter loses control on a curve and...
Screech! Crash. Well, she's lucky to survive that crash. That car...
Look at her, she flew out of the car!
Yeah, the car hit nose down on rocks below the cliff.
She had no seatbelt on. Of course, she goes... So, Lois revives in a hospital. She goes,
yes.
I'm in a hospital. I seem to have come through in one piece, but that headline... How on earth?
Blackmailer of girl reporter jailed by Superman by Clark Kent.
Good morning, Lois. How are you feeling?
I'll live. But what about this headline, Superman? What happened?
Simple, Lois. After the wreck, I traced the car's license to Roger Madison, an extortionist with a police record as long as your arm.
As the Man of Might sets up a projector in the room...
Madison confessed that he stole the film to show you after some careful cutting... I'll run off that part you didn't see.
It's true that I accidentally caused that deadly fallout to rain down on a ship, killing the crew. But a telescopic lens caught another aspect of the story. The first things to disintegrate were the crew's human masks. They were all aliens from another world.
What?
As I learned later, they were condemned criminals in their solar system. They'd been tried and convicted of destroying a whole inhabited planet. In fact, their home world gave me an honorary citizenship in gratitude for having, quote, executed them.
unquote. In order to loot that world, they sprayed a deadly vapor over its surface.
Our amoeba gas turns all living things into dying blobs. When the whole planet is lifeless, we'll land and loot this place of its vast stores of gold and gems.
They were captured, tried, and sentenced to death, but before the execution could take place, they escaped and fled to Earth.
Our plastoid masks and Earth clothing fooled everyone. We'll steal the ship and set sail. The dumb space cops will never look for us out at sea.
However, an intergalactic patrol ship spotted the fugitives with special detectors and launched a super weapon.
Name ultrasonic missile for ocean coordinates 060. Fire! Our orders are to execute the killers on the spot!
When I intercepted the unknown device, it was slightly off course, but I accidentally diverted the fallout to its original destination.
My goodness. Yes.
Great Krypton, when I previously checked, the Maritime Center said no commercial ships were in this area, so where did that steamer come from with aliens aboard? I finally located the alien patrol craft. They explained things and cleared me of any responsibility in the deaths of the condemned murderers.
Oh, Superman! To think! That black man almost tricked me into marrying him!
And needlessly, Lois, if you had come to me in the first place, Madison's whole scheme would have gone up in smoke. As the police constantly warn people, don't deal with blackmailers.
No! What an idiot I was!
Yes, but also the yes. most loyal friend a man could have. You gave every cent you had to protect me from ruin. Thanks a lot.
Thanks? I don't want thanks. Just a little gold wedding ring. I'll probably never get one from Superman.
A week later, when Lois returns to the Daily Planet, Madison hadn't spent any of your blackmail money, Lois. This is Clark speaking. Superman got it all back, plus your super souvenirs. Look at this. She's got a big bouquet of flowers that says, To Queen Big Heart.
If only it said, To the Queen of My Heart.
You're already the queen of perfection, Lois.
You got all your money back,
Lois.
And you got souvenirs, Lois. I know you're 30, but come on, life isn't that bad.
Really?
She wants to marry the Man of Steel.
Yes.
How easy is that going to be?
It's not. She could marry Clark or Jimmy.
Or
Perry. No, Perry's already married.
Well, I'm sure there are all sorts of men that would be happy to marry her.
Sure.
She has to go for Superman. Well, don't you think her life would be extremely complicated if she was married to Superman?
Yes, but think of all the stories and scoops she would get.
My life is... Just call me Mrs. Superman.
Now, first of all, this is only a series of very lucky breaks that Superman didn't actually kill human beings.
Okay.
Like, they just happened to be
aliens.
Condemned
murder aliens. Yes.
He didn't check to see if the fallout would affect anything below. Mm-hmm. He just took the word of the Coast Guard or whoever's out there monitoring.
Well, because they were, those aliens didn't register the ship because they were.
I know, but still, look, you know, he's got X-ray vision. Like, scan the horizon.
Well, I know. You can read mail from across the world.
Or suck up all the fallout with your super breath and blow it into the sun or something.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
Well, I hope he's learned an important lesson. And another thing.
What?
It's far more likely...
Wait a second.
What?
Why was there even film of this happening? How do they take film?
Oh, because the planet, the globe is constantly surrounded by lexoscopes.
Oh.
Lexophones. Are circling the Earth to record everything.
All right. Yes?
Like closed-circuit television in Europe is everywhere.
Okay. All right.
In our first story, it's far more likely that Superman would fall prey to hypnosis than Batman.
Why?
Because Batman's always ready for the unexpected. You can't trick him.
Okay.
And I'm no Batman fan, but come on.
Yeah.
Batman's ready for anything.
He is. He's very clever.
Now.
And of course, Superman's susceptible to magic, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Red Suns, apparently.
Yes.
Now, letters to Lois and Lana. Lana's not even in this whole issue, so I don't know why she gets a byline in the letters page, but...
Uh-oh, I know where we're going.
Dear Editor, I've noticed a new look in Lois's mags lately. Lois and Lana seem to have buried the hatchet. Take the story, Beware of Bug Bell, for instance. We read that one.
I love that one, yeah.
Lois and Lana share each other's apartments. Lana doesn't get angry about Lois using her bio ring, nor does she blame Lois when Velvet O'Mara steals the ring. And to top it off, the girls kid each other about their prospects for marrying Superman. I like this a lot better than their fighting and feuding and thinking up nasty schemes against each other. Here's the kicker. By the way,
who's Irene Vartanoff?
I have 20 mags with her name on the letter pages that I've counted. You're lucky to have such a devoted fan.
Barbara Carroll, Panama City, Florida.
We feel lucky to have many devoted fans, yourself included, Barbara. As for Irene, we met her when she visited our offices in August. She's a college student who's perhaps the best friend and severest critic of DC mags. Let's see what she has to say this time.
Okay.
Dear editor, Beware of the Bug Bell was a... Well, it was darn good. How can I describe a story that had action, human interest, and fun all wrapped up in a beautiful package? All those crazy insects, those even crazier criminals, and the nicely toned-down rivalry of Lois and Lana made for a well-balanced tale. This is the kind of work it is a real pleasure to see. And heaven forbid that I should forget to mention artwork. Kurt Schaffenberger draws the most gorgeous-looking people and insects around. If he ever stops drawing Lois Lane, I might stop reading it. His work is so superlative. As for Lois Lane's last chance, this story was certainly calculated to win the sympathy of the reader, but I do get a wee bit tired of this constant effort to teach Lois a lesson. Irene Vartanoff, Bethesda, Maryland. What's wrong with teaching her lessons if they do her some good? And after all, Lois wound up the winner with a handsome admirer who's so loaded his library is filled with nothing but bank books.
That was the response of the editor.
Yeah.
I don't like when Lois is... I don't like how they treat Lois sometimes.
No.
You know, she's like, she needs to learn lessons.
Sure.
She's a very intelligent, independent, strong-willed...
Capable woman.
She's just... 1960s, you know. Women were not... Well, women weren't seen as equals.
Sure.
So,
I have one more question.
What?
Dear editor, we are ardent admirers of DC Comics. However, being style-conscious young ladies, we wonder why Lois Lane always wears white pearl earrings. Can't she afford a new pair? Clearly not. She's giving all her money to blackmailers. Uh-huh. And why doesn't she wear mini skirts, poor boys, and go-go boots?
What are poor boys?
I don't know. Huh. She certainly has the right shape for them. Signed, Debbie, Kathy, Doozer, and Gainer. Charlestown, Rhode Island. Oh, maybe those are their last names.
Oh.
Debbie Doozer and Kathy Gaynor. The earrings, we read, are a special kind given her by Superman. Nice save. As for the rest, you'll have to wait until artist Kurt Schaffenberger's daughter wears those togs. He gets all his fashion style ideas from her.
Oh, my goodness.
Well.
Well.
His daughter's wearing some pointy heels, I can tell you that.
His daughter dresses like a 30-year-old spinster.
Well, that's all for this time, unless you have anything to add.
Well, I think your hair looks great today.
Thanks.
Yes.
I've just had it done. I visited my gal the other day.
Did you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
at the salon.
Yeah.
I liked this Lois story.
Me too.
Quite a bit.
I did too.
I could give two rips for that World's Finest.
Oh, yeah, Batman and
except
Superman.
Except for the one panel of new superheroes we'll never hear from again. You can find us on social media at GoGoCheckPod. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. And you can find us right back here next week for our 250th episode.
How is that possible?
It's possible, my friend.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
You just got to, it's like riding a bike. You just got to keep going.
Until next week.
Bye. Bye.